All right, we are back on the record after our afternoon break. We're here on appeal number SDD 2303, 4, 6, and 8. I think at this point we were turning to Ms. Goddard as the witness for the department. Is that correct?
That's correct, and I have a correction on my statement. I thought we were talking about, or I was thinking, closing arguments. I don't have a presentation.
Okay. All right. Well, we will move then to, I think there was a request to recall the transportation witness, Gary Norris. Is that still the plan, Ms. Sixoy? We have Ms. Sixoy on the line?
Yes.
Ms. Sixoy, are you there? I think you'll need to unmute yourself. Yeah, the appellants don't happen to know if Ms. Sixoy is
I know she was planning on coming back. Maybe she's.
That was my presumption.
Maybe she was counting on Ms. Goddard.
She might have been. I wonder if, Ms. Cozy, perhaps you could, do you have her number handy? If you could.
Did not answer.
So am I correct that Mr. Norris would be the last witness? Is my understanding correct on that? Oh, there she is. Okay. Ms. Sixoy, so Ms. Goddard does not have any testimony, so we were going to, I think you had indicated you wanted to call your transportation witness, Mr. Norris. Is that correct? Is that still correct? Oh, you're muted.
Okay.
There we go.
I'm muted at the wrong time and...
Yeah, no, that's fine. It happens.
Sorry.
That's fine.
Yes, I would really like to.
Okay. Okay. So, Mr. North, you are being recalled. I swore you in earlier. You remain under oath.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I guess I want to clarify. I spoke with Ms. Sitjoy during the break, and my understanding was that she was asking me to give the final comments about our presentation. Are we at that stage now?
No. So we will be there actually shortly. I didn't know if you had any brief testimony in response to what you just heard from the applicant's transportation witness, Mr. McBrien. And if it's more argument, and certainly that can be addressed in closing, but if you wish to present testimony, then you could do so now.
I believe I'll save my comments to the closing.
Okay. So it sounds like we have completed witness testimony then. Is that correct? Okay. Okay, I'm not hearing anything to the contrary. So at this point, we will move to closing argument. I assume occasionally we'll do this written, but I think this proceeding probably makes sense to do this orally today. I assume each of the appellants would like to make a brief closing statement. Is that correct? Okay. So I think the way we'll do this is we'll have the appellants proceed first, then followed by either the department or the applicant. And again, these are just brief closing statements, kind of wrap up kind of your position, your case. Any questions on any of that? Yes, Ms. Sixoy.
I think
it sounds like you're designating him to make your closing statement. Right. So that's fine. Okay, so, Mr. Norris, do you want to start with the closing statements then for Ms. Sixoy?
Yes, I can do that.
Okay, if you're ready.
Okay, I was invited here today to provide comment on the traffic study that was circulated as a part of the process in regards to the department departure issues that we've discussed today, and more specifically regarding parking. And I think the traffic study that was prepared does give a picture of what those issues are, but I believe it has failed to significantly evaluate and consider the ramifications of potential issues. As I pointed out in my initial testimony, there's errors throughout the data that have been, attempts have been made to describe a way, but yet there's no documentation in the report that substantiates the comments are made, which is totally contrary to a typical traffic study where an appendix is provided with appropriate count data, level service analysis, and distribution constructs that can be evaluated and compared against the analysis. That has not been provided in this case. There are comments made regarding a possible TMP that don't square with the presentation of the data that's been provided in this traffic study, as I pointed out in my last comments, where we're talking about traffic not being allowed to use 59th, yet the analysis shows that it is. So what is it? What's it going to be? I think we need to know what that is. I think it's all important and has an impact on what kind of decisions would be made. Mr. McBrien has asked us to just accept his statements that everything is okay, that I don't personally believe that he has really studied these issues to the point that he can make those conclusions. And I think this issue should be remanded back for further analysis. There needs to be more in-depth study of what exactly is going on there that's not been defined here. It's a glossy picture, but not really identifying what the issues are. And I don't think that's fair to the community or the public. So that would be my conclusion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Norris. And then I don't know which the order on how the appellants wanted to proceed. Ms. Causey, Ms. Wood, Ms. Ost, I see you raising your hand. Oh, you're muted right now. There we go. Now it looks like you're unmuted. We should be able to hear you now. Ms. Ost?
You have to put mute button,
I know.
This isn't what I do for a living. This isn't what I have ever expected myself to be involved in. To me, I worked in medicine, and this to me is analogous to somebody building a hospital and then waiting till it's all built and then saying, well, gee, where are we going to let the ambulances in? And it's the cart before the horse in not doing the traffic pattern and knowing how this is all going to work. Where are the people that none of the essentials to logical use of this space has been done. That is the crux of our discomfort, our anger, our incredulousness at this whole project. And then it's gone by department neighborhoods and you guys, and nobody seems to want to find out how this is going to work. It should be figured out how it's going to work before you build it. I'm done.
Thank you, Ms. Oss. And Ms. Causey, or Ms. Wood. Ms. Wood, raise your hand. Ms. Wood, did you wish to proceed next? Oh, you're muted.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Did she fall off?
No, I didn't fall off.
Oh, I hear you. Oh, good.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, that's fine. I found sort of a new button, apparently. So I just want to say in closing that I have spent the last 3, 4, 5 months trying to address and speak up for the most vulnerable families in the SDS system, and that's the families of the special needs and the families with specific needs students. And looking at a bill like this that I know includes a special needs program of up to 40 students, and it also includes a brand new pre-K program, which those are younger students, these are all families that need to be able to park someplace and walk their students in. You can do all the traffic studies you want, you can take all the pictures that you want, you can draw all the conclusions that you want, but I know as a family of a special needs student that their needs are not being met with how this site has been laid out. The parking departure absolutely does not take them into consideration. And I know that the district has talked a lot this year through their budget and other ways that they want to meet the needs of these kids. And this is just a blow, an absolute contradiction to what they said they want to do. So I thank everybody for being here. I've enjoyed hearing everybody. I'm hearing every side of it. But my mind remains unchanged that this build and the way it's designed does not meet the needs of those families. Thank you. Now I got to find unmute.
Thank you, Ms. Wood.
Am I allowed to speak again or not?
Well, you did designate someone for your closing.
Okay.
If you want to say something brief, we have a little bit of flexibility on time, I think. So if you wanted to add something brief, that would be all right.
Okay, it's very, very brief.
Okay.
I just want to say that I agree with my fellow appellants here. Kathy, I'm right with you on this whole thing. 25 years ago, my husband and I built a little 5-unit apartment in a little fishing village in Mexico. It just so happens my husband's really neurotic about doing everything right. So we got the building permits, we got everything, we did it correctly. But the vast majority of people that built them didn't get working building permits. They, did everything. Like, it seems to me like this is happening here without concern for whatever the rules or the community might be. As a result, now here in Sayulita, Mexico, now nobody has water because there's not enough water to go around for the people that have moved there. The streets are a mess. Nobody has thought through what's going to happen when everybody just comes in and does what they want to do. Now, I will say there's been a little bit of planning here, but there's been a lot of smoke and mirrors, and there's been a lot of misrepresentation that I think these people have no idea what it's like to live in Alki. You know, maybe they on paper they do, but this is our lived experience here. This traffic is terrible, and wanting to put double the size of a school here, it's ludicrous. And so that's all I have to say. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Sixoy. And then Ms. Causey. Oh, you're muted.
I am. There we go.
There we go.
All right. Well, first I want to say just a quick thank you. I really appreciate that this process exists and, you know, there is a chance for us to have some input and for you as the hearing examiner, you know, leading this, knowing that we're not, you know, with a legal background, we're here because we care about this community. So, like I mentioned, I did my own community survey, which specifically spoke to the fact that we will be losing the parking spots, which a lot of community members still did not know about, which is now up to 483 responses, and each one of those has comments as to why they feel strongly about this. Now, that was just something I did. I feel like, you know, that if the information was more transparent about the parking situation, I believe that that response would have been the same for, you know, what SPS, Department of Neighborhoods, anyone else who, if we had the Departures Committee, if we had other avenues and people really knew what was going on aside from just a new school, which, you know, we do support a new school. So this has obviously struck a chord with the community that we will be losing parking and at capacity nearly double the size from its current size. And if it was me who was just frustrated by this, I would not have pushed through to attend this meeting. I have two young kids. It is truly dozens, and now we've seen hundreds of us who are opposed to taking out all parking and not having any on-site ADA parking next to a massively crowded beach, one of the busiest areas in Seattle during 6 months of the year, and next to a walking park, right next door to a walking park. So why is Alki unique, and why is our area unique? I even heard the parking expert who works with Katie Kendall mention that it's unique in his, you know, ending remarks when I was questioning him. And for us who live in the neighborhood, it does boil down to the fact that we're located right next to this public park with wild fluctuations in traffic for 6 months of the year, pedestrian and safety concerns that already exist, and that parking and safety and traffic issue with that tiny little area where everything's happening within that intersection, including now this proposed new ADA spot, which would be added to that, where the bus zone already is, and again, next to these two areas that are unique for Seattle. You know, we already have these parking issues that exist, and, you know, being in one of only two parking overlays, which I know, you know, I heard was trying to be discredited, but the fact that they exist for a reason. Those were put in there for a reason, and not by us as the residents. We abide by those. So the fact that they have no bearing or wouldn't even come into conversation with the school seems a little odd to me. The fact that the huge concern that I've had, one of them with this, is the fact that, you know, and the traffic expert, you know, saying some things about our neighborhood, including some assumptions, which he called them assumptions, about where we live and hearing things that do not feel true to what we see, and the fact that the parking study was done in December, I think, of 2021, I just have no words for that. I mean, the world was so different, and I remember that time because we go down to the beach, and it was almost empty in December of 2021. It felt like a completely different place, I will tell you. I've never seen Alki Beach like that in 35 years. It was completely different, and of course in December it's always different, but it was basically deserted. You could have gone down there and had the whole beach to yourself. I mean, it was, COVID was totally strange for Alki up until the end of it, but, you know, during that time frame it was very, very different than it normally would have been. So the fact that there was a study and that was the one in-person study that they did, I mean, that, I just don't have any words for it. So the fact that it was also in December, you know, it's already a slow time. And then also the bridge. I mean, we've never, living here, had the bridge out like that ever. So these three things were happening when the parking study was done. And then to rely on Google or some other third party. But like, I would have loved to have somebody come and say, like, I did several studies. One of them we did during a time that maybe wasn't as relevant for what we're looking at here. And the other time we did it was this, and here's what it showed. I mean, it just seems, well, we've already talked about it. if attendance is higher at the school, from what I have seen, you know, I'm not a parking expert, but I believe a higher proportion of people would be coming here by car, because the buildings that we are seeing going up are apartments, and there are these really tall buildings that have the two bedrooms, but one is on the third floor and one is on the main floor, which is not conducive to babies or small elementary school children or preschoolers. So what we're seeing and what I'm hearing from all the families, being a preschool teacher in the neighborhood, is families often are moving out when they have kids. They're not living in this little area of Alki. They're moving a little bit farther away in West Seattle because the housing is drastically changing in this area, which may be one of the reasons why attendance is down. You've heard from a handful of us that we've heard that there's been near misses just within this group for safety already happening, you know, and we're always like on high alert the fact that that would, you know, be increased with traffic, with parents parking to go pick up and then go back to their car. You've heard that the survey was only done in December 2021. You heard me say that I did my own survey and 384 people are asking for parking. And you heard from some of us who are saying ADA parking already isn't great with our personal stories on what's happened, and this would be exacerbated by beach traffic already. You know, the promise from SPS being a safe environment and taking the educational needs of all students, including those with disabilities, into account. Just because we can build this school like this, and it is beautiful, doesn't mean we should, and it doesn't mean that it meets the needs of the traffic, the parking, and what's currently happening at other times besides December of 2021. Just because we can do it doesn't mean this is the right way to do it, especially because what we want to do is build a school that we're going to be able to use for at least 50 years. We want this to be a long-term thing. We want it to be part of the community, and we all want, you know, to make sure that it does fit the needs of everybody, the teachers, the principal, the parents who are coming for drop-off and pick-up. I wanted to read a couple more comments from the survey that I sent out. And I'm just going to read a couple of them here. And I'll read them quickly. But although I have a driveway, often people park their cars but it obstructs my driveway. I am 80 years old and I live across from the street. I am across from the school. I am disabled. So if I need to get out in an emergency, I know for a fact I would not be able to. At the end of the day, this is a different one, second one. At the end of the day, we all want the same thing. A safe, vibrant school. And now we have an opportunity to stop, listen, and reconsider the school to be a safe place that works for our neighborhood. Why is SPS able to disregard a parking overlay when residents have to save up for years just to stay in compliance? Okay, another one. I have two children at Alki Elementary. Drop-off currently is a nightmare. Pickup is even worse nightmare, and parking, just forget about it. Not fixing a single problem for the parents and residents with this $1 million is an atrocity. I guess they didn't know how much it was. Why would SPS even consider doing this to us? I have two kids, this is another one. I have two kids that went to Alki. Drop-off, pickup, parking has been a nightmare. And that is with a few designated parking spots. Absolutely shocked that the city is turning a blind eye and overlooking code. Please, please, please listen to the actual residents and parents of children in this community and school. Here's another one. I live, and I'm almost done. I live on Alki Ave Southwest. Parking is a constant problem. Our driveway is blocked by others daily. It became a huge issue on more than one occasion when we tried to get emergency vehicles down here for healthcare reasons. My husband is in a wheelchair. We have been late being able to leave regularly, trying to leave our house. Upon return, about 20% of the time, someone is parked illegally in our driveway, leaving us to struggle with the wheelchair. Leaving us to struggle with the wheelchair. On a busy traffic day with dozens of cars constantly going around and around the beach and looking for parking, and a parking spot is never able to be close to our house. Please add on-site parking for the sake of the children, staff, and families, especially ADA. Thank you. So all of that is to say, you know, that I really felt strongly about being here because this just doesn't feel like it does number one, taking into account the community and the residents, with only one resident being on that committee that Ms. Hutchinson mentioned. Those of us who, you know, obviously are here, I think at least some of us would have been on that committee if we knew about it, and the fact that a lot of people still don't know that the parking was taken away out of Alki who live in the area. So we have two asks. We ask that you halt the project and with great urgency come up with a plan, a parking plan that takes into account a time frame in person that is not in December during COVID, and takes into account what is actually happening during April, May, June, September, and October. What really happens in our neighborhood, what we see with parents, what we see with teachers, what we already see with parking, what we see with the flow of pedestrians, and what we see with safety. And do this during the pickup and drop-off times so you can actually see what is happening during those times, because parents are parking. Number two, keep at the very least number of spots that currently exist, 27 spots. We ask that you do not take those out. They are always full, and they do help the teachers and principals, and sometimes they're used for load and unload. We are absolutely not against a new school. This school should be here for 50-plus years. Sometimes, as we talked about earlier, things are discovered in the process, and they slightly change the process, and information comes to light. This should be taken into account. We are not opposed to this. And in fact, for me in particular, I would be your biggest fan if this would be something that would, you know, as a preschool teacher, I believe in education and I want this here. We're just asking you to take the needs into account of the community, the teachers, the parents, the support staff, the custodians, you know, the counselors, everybody else who will be using this school and everybody else who lives around it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Causey. All right, so now we will turn to the department and the applicant. I'm not sure which, Ms. Goddard, Ms. Kendall, I didn't know the order in which you wanted to present closing.
Ms. Goddard, Ms. Kendall?
Sure, I think that, thanks.
Okay.
I wanted to thank you, everyone, for your time today, your research and instruction, the heartfelt comments, and a view into the Alki community. I wanted to point out, and maybe it makes a certain closure of a loop, it is probably Exhibit 1, the decision from the director, is page 15 of 16, is in, it is the conditions that are put on the project, and they're called for the life of the project. And there's six conditions there. And the school transportation management plan, also the words were used, the transportation, TMP, transportation management plan, was used a lot. I call it school transportation management plan in the director's decision. But that is a plan that we've been talking about. And it's asked in the condition that prior to the school reopening each year, so this is a live document that the principal of the school and whomever is involved in creating that document will look at patterns, will study what's going on and make changes each year, and then there's no restriction that it can't be something that's updated every 3 months or something like that. But for the life of the project, it is a plan that can evolve to help many of the conditions that are outlined. Another condition is the school safety committee that's led by SDOT. That is needs to be always involved for the life of the project. A neighborhood communication plan, I think it has in there, also needs to be updated, update right-of-way and curbside signage, and large event plan. So these are plans to help respond, excuse me, to the pressures and the comments. And the last one, electric change and image message board. The conditions are a little more stronger than Ms. Hutchinson. No video, flashing, scrolling, rolling, tumbling, and moving images are allowed. The department wants to control this so that it is a message that can change to a different language, to a different message, but not be a glitzy, high-powered type of flashing commercial type sign. So I wanted to point out that the condition is stronger than what we saw earlier. And for all of these conditions, if any member of the public sees that the conditions are not being followed, they can call in to the planner, to me, or to our code compliance department. As you can imagine, there's a whole department for code compliance. And you would say, the school is not, you know, following the rules of one of these conditions, and then we would go back and work with the school to get them back on track. So that's important for me to say that this is not the end of when the hearing examiner makes her finding. This is a document, the decision that requires these other documents to be updated and to be a live document and work on that. So the department does stand by its decision with these conditions to approve the project, and we hope that a hearing examiner that you can find in the same light. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Goddard. Ms. Kendall?
Thank you. Under SNC Chapter 2379, the departure section that we've been discussing today, the appellants have the burden of proof in this appeal. The decision on the evidence before the examiner shall be made upon the same basis as was required of the director of the SDCI, and substantial weight is to be afforded to the decision of the director. The appellants here have not met their burden of proof, and their appeal should be dismissed. Just as a quick background, as part of the project, 9 departures were requested and granted under this chapter. The district has withdrawn its curb cut width departure request, which is departure number 5, and we ask the examiner note that this departure has been withdrawn in her findings and conclusions and the order. The height departure was not appealed and does not need to be discussed further in this closing argument, but there is information in the city's decision related to that and the support for that departure. I will discuss briefly the other departures that were discussed today at the hearing and appealed. First, the examiner's jurisdiction is limited to whether SDCI erred in granting these departures, giving that decision substantial weight. What that means here is that it's about whether the departure itself should be granted, not necessarily approving the school itself or the capacity and the like. It's whether the parking departure itself should be granted, et cetera. And with respect to the parking departure, appellants contend the reduction in parking will create impacts in the neighborhood. Looking at the SDCI decision, the departure meets the appropriateness of character and scale of the surrounding area by prioritizing learning space for parking stalls. The director also notes that the alternative to allowing the departure would be the need to expand the site by requiring the demolition of residential structures. In terms of the parking analysis, Mr. McBrien explained in both his report and in his testimony today, explained how parking is calculated, and then explained how he conducted his analysis to determine if there is sufficient on-street parking in the area to accommodate day-to-day users and events as well. Mr. McBrien found that there was sufficient on-street parking. He discussed how he reviewed the parking counts in December and also reviewed and back-checked counts in spring of years prior to COVID and the bridge closure to effectively determine that the counts themselves were actually similar, and that was helpful in terms of relying upon those counts during a time when you can't take counts. The district has also issued an NDNS with conditions to mitigate any potential traffic and parking impacts, and one of those is implementing the transportation management plan just spoken to by Ms. Goddard, as well as event management plans. After consideration of all these factors, the director granted the departure request with these conditions, plus a couple of other conditions as well, as Ms. Goddard noted. In today's hearing, appellants equate student drop-off and pick-up to on-site parking. Mr. McBrien explained that there's a limited relationship between those two. Parents dropping off would not and could not use the parking stalls that would be on-site as required by code. The only relationship is the staff who would park in this lot would now have to find street parking above and beyond the staff that already does find street parking in existing conditions. Mr. McBrien explained that there, as noted ahead, that his study shows that there is sufficient street parking, and he also outlined in detail the robust transportation management plan What District Brian did is look at the worst case analysis prior to implementation of the plan. The transportation management plan has both the potential to greatly reduce and improve the drop-off conditions and parking conditions as demonstrated at other sites, as Mr. McBrien testified. Appellants also raised purported errors in the analysis, and Mr. McBrien's testimony addressed each of those allegations of error in his own testimony. None of the allegations of error have demonstrated that the parking and bus loading departures will create significant impacts as required by looking at the criteria 2379. It should also be noted there was a CEPA appeal challenging the MDNS and the traffic study. Appellants in that hearing failed to demonstrate error on the MDNS determination and have also failed to demonstrate error on the departures decision here as well. Turning to bus loading, the director concluded the bus and unload components of the proposal are important elements of the educational program, and that site would have to be expanded into residential areas if the bus load and unload request was not granted. The bus load area is existing. Ms. Hutchison testified that it would be improved and actually moved slightly further south to reduce any potential for conflicts. The change of the location of the entryway also would help reduce those conflicts where they are currently, the bus loading is right next to the main entry of the school, and that will be changed. After considering the DOREN recommendation and public comments, the director granted the departure as well. Appellants have provided no evidence that this decision was in error. Quickly on electric signage, as Ms. Goddard noted, this is not a flashing device. There are strict conditions relating to this being letters on a black screen. It is not going to cause light and glare impacts, and there is also a canopy to address any light that would move upward to the extent that exists. The sign design will face the entry plaza, the park boulevard, and then the park, and not homes. There is no impact here, and the appellants have not met their burden to demonstrate that the district or the director was in error. Similarly, the bike parking departures show SPS will provide the required number of bike parking spaces between both SPS and SPR, so for parks property, but will install more short-term parking than the long-term parking. Appellants have not provided evidence that SPCI's decision was in error in granting the bike parking departures. I will also note briefly that as it relates to the curb cut departures that were made, we heard no evidence that those granting of those would cause traffic or parking impact or that the decision was an error. In conclusion, in balancing these the limited impacts on the surrounding area of the departures themselves with the true educational needs identified by the district's witnesses for the departure, it is clear the director's decision, particularly when given substantial weight, should be affirmed. The appeal should be dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kendall. So I will take all of what I've heard today and the exhibits that have been admitted into consideration. A decision will be out within 20 days, and that will be emailed to the parties. I will, as I noted earlier, I will be doing a site visit either this week or next week. Are there any procedural questions from any of the parties before we adjourn? No? Okay. Well, thank you all for your thoughtful presentation and efficient presentation as well. I know not all of you are familiar with these more formal processes, so I appreciate your patience and adaptability and kind of adjusting to the procedures today. So, all right. I think that's it. Thank you all for your participation. We are adjourned.
Thank you.